I want you to go with me this morning to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's nighttime. As we enter the garden, we see a group of eight disciples that are sleeping. We go a little bit further into the garden, we see a group of three disciples that are sleeping. And then we go a little bit deeper into the garden, we see our Savior, Jesus Christ, agonizing in prayer. A mob comes. They arrest Jesus. They lead him away. They take him to the palace of the home of the high priest. The council assembles in the middle of the night. Now, by the way, it was illegal for the council to do that. They could not meet in the darkness of night. But they put aside their own rules, their own regulations, their own laws, and they met in the middle of the night to have a trial of Christ. They accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of claiming to be the Son of God. Now, if they had been true men, if they had been men that were truly seeking the truth and justice, they would have examined Christ. They would have examined the fact that in his life he had fulfilled every prophecy. They would have examined every miracle that he had performed, and that those miracles confirmed indeed that he was the Son of God. If they would have looked at the lessons and the messages, the sermons that he'd preach, and if they had looked at how he'd lived his life and loved people, they would have come to the conclusion that only that any logical man that was seeking the truth could come to, that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. Indeed, he was who he said he was, the Son of God. Well, they found him guilty. They found him guilty of claiming to be the Son of God, and he was the Son of God, so how can you be guilty of proclaiming to be what you are? But that's what they found him guilty of, proclaiming to be the Son of God. So in the morning, they took him to Pilate. You see, the Jews under Roman rule could not put anybody to death. And according to Jewish law, if you committed blasphemy, if you claimed to be the Son of God, you deserve to die. And so in order to execute him, they couldn't do it on their own. So they took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate calls Jesus in. He examines Christ. He questions Christ. He comes to the conclusion that the Jewish council should have come to. But Pilate, a Roman, came to the conclusion. He said this, "I find no fault in this man. There's nothing worthy in this man that deserves death. There's nothing worthy in this man that deserves that he be executed." Now, Pilate should have just let him go. If Pilate had done what was right, he would have just dismissed the crowd and he would have let Jesus go. But when he came out and said, "I find no fault in this man," the Jews stirred the crowd up. The Jewish leaders stirred the crowd up and said, "Look, this man has stirred up the whole country. He stirred up the whole country against Caesar. He deserves to die, not only under our law, but under your law for raising an insurrection." Well, Pilate didn't know what to do. He heard that King Herod, the Jewish king, was in the city, and so he said, "Well, I'll just take care of this. I'll just send this problem to Herod. Herod can decide what to do with this one called Christ." And so the temple guard delivered Jesus to Herod. Herod wanted Jesus to do a miracle. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the miracles that he'd performed, and he was hoping that Jesus would come into his court and would perform a miracle so that Herod could see it himself. But Jesus stood there silent before Herod, and so Herod sent him back to Pilate. Pilate examines him a second time. Again, he comes to the same conclusion. "This man is innocent. I find no fault in him. I find nothing worthy in him that would deserve. I send him to be executed. I send him to be killed." It was at this point that Pilate got a note from his wife, Mrs. Pilate. She wrote a note to her husband. She said, I've suffered many things in a dream because of this man that stands before you. Have nothing to do with him. Don't you do anything to him, because I've been warned in a dream, and you just be better off to stay out of this. And so Pilate didn't know what to do. I mean, he knew what was right. He knew that he should have let Jesus go. He knew that Jesus was innocent. But the Jewish leaders were working the crowd. They were working the crowd into a frenzy. And so Pilate took him back into the hall. Examine him for the third time. He questioned Jesus again. And I don't have time. If you've read the Gospels, you know the exchange that Pilate and Jesus had I don't have time to talk about it this morning. But for the third time, Pilate examined him, came to the same conclusion. I find no fault in this man. I'm going to release him. Well, this sets the crowd off. The crowd said, no, you're not a friend of Caesar if you let this man go. He's raising insurrection against the emperor. And if you're the right kind of Roman governor, if you care about your career, if you care about what the Roman government is going to think about you, you will execute this man. Pilate didn't know what to do, but he said, oh, wait a minute. This is the time of year where the Roman governor releases a Jewish prisoner. I know how to solve this problem. I can just fix everything. I'll just choose Jesus to release him. Now, many people thought that the Romans did this as a favor to the Jews to mark Passover, their exit from Egypt. And so the Roman governor said, okay, I hear what you say, but I am invoking the rule, invoking the privilege that I have at this time of year to release a prisoner. I'm going to release Jesus of Nazareth and set him free. Again, the crowd, worked up into a frenzy by the Jewish leaders, said, no, you can't release him. Don't release him. He's guilty. He deserves to die. He deserves to die because of Jewish law. He deserves to die because of Roman law. You are no friend of Caesar if you let him go. If you want to let somebody go, let Barabbas go. Now, Barabbas was a thief. He was in jail awaiting execution because in his theft he had committed murder. So he was a murderer and a thief. He deserved to die. And the crowd said, hey, said to Pilate, if you want to let somebody go, let Barabbas go. And then Pilate asked the question of all time, the question that I want to ask every person here this morning. Pilate asked the question, well, if you want me to release Barabbas, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? If you want me to release Barabbas, if you want me to release the murderer and the thief, what shall I do with this one called Jesus? And we know how the crowd answered. They cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! Send him to the cross! Execute him! Kill him! He deserves to die. Now again, Pilate was a coward. His backbone was made out of jello instead of spine. If he had any backbone at all, he would have withstood the crowd and said, no, he's innocent. I'm going to let him go. But bowing to the pressure of the crowd, bowing to what the emperor might have thought of him, bowing to the concerns about his own career as a Roman governor, he said, hey, bring me a bowl of water, a basin of water. And he stood before the crowd as they held that basin of water, and he dipped his hands in the water and washed his hands and says, I am innocent of this blood. If you want him to be crucified, then you take him and crucify it. I don't want anything to do with it. And they took Jesus out. They took him to that place called Golgotha. They hung him on a cross, and they crucified him. And he died to pay for our sins. Now, I want to spend the next few minutes talking to you about that question that Pilate asked. What shall I do with Christ? I want to tell you three things about that question. Number one, it's an important question. And how you answer that question is important. You see, how you answer that question is going to determine the rest of your life here on this earth and whether you're going to have any joy in your life or not. Because if you say like the crowd, crucify him, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, you're going to miss the one person who can bring joy into your life the rest of the time you have on this earth. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Jesus said, hey, I want you to go out and love people like I've loved you. And one of the ways that you show your love to me is to be obedient. And I want you to be obedient to me, because if you be obedient to me, you will have my joy. Jesus said this, my joy. Just like we can have his peace, we can have his joy. That joy that doesn't just mean being happy all the time. That joy that comes from knowing that you are right with God, that you have a right relationship with him. That joy that comes from knowing that he has a plan for your life. That joy that comes from knowing that that you're one of his children and he's going to take care of you. That joy that just comes from knowing that you belong to God. He has a plan for your life, and he's going to work that plan for your life. We sang that song in the open assembly this morning. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right now in this world if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you say, instead of saying with the crowd, crucify him, you say with the many Christians down through the ages, no, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to receive him as my Savior. I'm going to make him mine. It's an important question for the rest of your life on this earth. It's also an important question because it determines how you will die. How you answer this question, what shall I do with Jesus? It will determine how you die. I've been in different places. I've been in hospitals. I have been in convalescent centers. I have been in people's homes. I tried to count last night how many people I have been present for that have left this world and gone out into eternity. And I can name 22 different people that I have been in their presence when they have left this earth. And it's been a mix of people. Many of those people, probably over half of them, have been Christians. The others I did not know or knew because of their testimony or testimony of their family that they were not saved and they were going out into eternity without Christ. And I've experienced death from both perspectives. I will tell you, when a person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior dies, they die with hope. A hope that life on this earth is not the end. A hope that because of what Christ did for them on Calvary, they are leaving this place to go to a better place. They are leaving this place to go to be with the Lord. Those that don't know Christ don't have that hope. Some of them don't know where they're going. I was with one man, and he was lucid enough to tell me just a few minutes before he died. He said, preacher, I know I'm headed for hell. I said, well, it's not too late. If you still have breath, the Bible talks about pulling them out of the fires of hell. If you'll trust Jesus as your Savior. He said, no, it's too late. Can't do it. I begged him. I wept and I cried and I begged him. And he went out into eternity without any hope at all. I've seen people that have been Christians take their last breath and there wasn't an ounce of fear in their eyes. And I've looked into the eyes of people that did not know Christ, and I saw nothing but fear. How you answer this question, what shall I do with Jesus, determines how you will die. It's an important question. It's an important question because how you answer that question will determine where you go after you die. If you join the crowd, say, I don't want anything to do with Christ. I don't believe that he was the Son of God. He may have been a good man, he may have been a good teacher, but he certainly didn't come from God. And what he did in his life certainly doesn't have any impact on me. If you take that position like the crowd took that day and cry out like they, go ahead and crucify him, it doesn't make any difference, you're going to end up in hell. And I know there's people here this morning who say, "Preacher, you ought not to be so direct. You ought not to tell people that they're going to hell." I'm not telling you you're going to hell. I'm just telling you that's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you that's what God says. If you leave this earth without trusting Jesus Christ, you will go to hell and you will spend eternity in hell. There is no second chances. There is no purgatory. There is nobody that's going to get you out of hell once you get there. You're going to spend eternity in that place prepared for Satan that God borrows to send people that reject his son to forever. Forever. But if you receive Christ, if you trust him as your Savior, if you say he was the Son of God, he did go to Calvary, he paid for my sins, I'm going to trust him, then when you leave this earth, you will go into the presence of God. You will walk through that gate of pearl. You will walk on that street of gold. You will walk into the presence of God where you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What are you going to do with Jesus? What then shall I do with Christ? You reject him, it'll affect the rest of your life. It'll affect how you die. It'll affect your eternity. But if you receive him, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you receive what he did for you on Calvary, you'll have a joy that's unspeakable, that will never die. And when you die, there will be no fear. There will be hope. And when you take your last breath, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will go to join him. So it's an important question. It's an important question. Number two, it's a question that every person must answer. Pilate tried to avoid it. He couldn't. He had to answer the question. And so do you. You might say, "Preacher, I did not come this morning ready to answer the question, what must I do with Jesus?" Doesn't matter if you came ready to answer that question or not. You have to answer that question this morning. You might say, "Well, I'm too young to answer that question." If you're old enough to think that you're too young to answer that question, you're old enough to answer the question. You might say, "Well, I'm too old to think about that question." No, if you're still here, you still have the responsibility, and you're still facing that question, "What must I do with Jesus Christ?" There's a couple people here. This is their first time. And again, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if this is your first time or if you've been here every time the doors have been open to this place. You still have to face the question. You still have to answer the question. Some people might say, "Well, look, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Catholic. I don't have to answer that question." It doesn't matter what label you wear. You walk the face of this earth. You're going to face God someday. You have to answer the question, "What shall I do with this one called Jesus?" You can't avoid it. You can't put it off. You have to answer the question. And then number three, it's a question you have to answer now. Now. You see, in just a minute, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to invite people to come that don't know Christ to receive him. In that moment, you're going to decide what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. In that moment. It's not going to be later on today. It's not going to be tonight. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next Sunday. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And in the next few moments, every single person is going to have to answer the question, "What shall I do with Jesus Christ?" Now, most of us here this morning have already made a decision in that regard. We've made a decision to receive him as payment for our sins. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Looking at ourselves, and we may say, "Hey, I'm not so bad," but the Bible says, don't compare yourself to yourself. Don't compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to the glory of God. You compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see how much of a sinner we are. So we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But, oh, I like the buts in the Bible. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When he went to Calvary, God took all of my sins and all of your sins and laid them on his Son. And on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins. He paid the price that we owe. And because he paid that price, God is able to offer to every person the gift, the gift, the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what the Bible says for us to do. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you have never done that, you have to answer the question, what shall I do with Jesus Christ? I encourage you this morning, if you've never received him as your Savior, that ought to be your answer to the question this morning. I'm trusting Christ. I'm depending on what he did on Calvary to take care of my sins. Now, I know the people that need to make that kind of decision are in the minority this morning. I know most of us here have received Christ already. But you know, we still have to answer the question, what shall I do with Jesus? Because you see, that Jesus has a will for every day of our life. What shall I do with Jesus? Am I going to follow his will for me today? Am I going to be obedient to him today? Am I going to be his representative and witness for him today? Am I going to live for him today? Or am I going to say, oh, sorry, Jesus, this is my day, not yours? Again, you know what I'm going to encourage you to do. You live every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. You answer the question, what shall I do with this one called Jesus? You say, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live for him. Man had a dream. In his dream, he went to heaven. He was brought before the throne. He looked toward the throne and saw a bright light, a light brighter than any he'd ever seen before. A voice came out of that light and asked some questions. Said, have you always told the truth? That man looked down to the gold street of heaven and shook his head and said, no, I have not always told the truth. The voice came out of the bright light again. Have you always been pure? Again, the man bowed his head and said, no, I have not always been pure. The voice came out of the bright light again and asked the question, have you always treated others right? And the man bowed his head again and shook his head and said, no. But then another voice came out of that light. He said it was the sweetest voice he'd ever heard. That voice said, Father, he's one of mine. I've paid for all the times he didn't tell the truth. I've paid for all the times that he's been impure. I've paid for all the times he didn't treat others right. All of his sins are on my account. And the man said in his dream, he heard a voice that came from that bright light that said, welcome home, son. Welcome home. What will you do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you make him your Savior this morning? Will you live for him? Every single person has to answer that question, and you have to answer it now. Make him your Savior. Make him the Lord of your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us enough to send your only begotten Son to the cross to die in our place. And I pray there may just be one or two here this morning that's never received Christ as their Savior. I pray in these moments, as they examine their hearts, as they examine their position before you, they could see their sin and the penalty that sin has, and they can see what Jesus did for them on Calvary, and they trust him this morning. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray we would continually, day by day, give our life to you. We'd live for you. We'd live according to the will that you have for us. We'd answer the question, what should I do? What shall I do with Jesus? I'm going to make him the Lord and King of my life. So, Father, help us to know we have to answer the question. Help us to answer it in a way that would bring us closer to you. I pray all this in the name of our Savior. I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Amen.